Hello, and welcome to the Cancer Horizons podcast. In each episode, you'll hear from patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, or healthcare professionals to do what CURE does best: provide cancer updates, research, and education. Bill C. Potts shares his inspirational story to readers as a five-time cancer survivor, offering experiences, knowledge, and compassion in his book, Up for the Fight, available from Page 2 Publishing. At 42 years old, Bill was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. Ever since, he has fought through four bouts of lymphoma and was diagnosed with prostate cancer most recently. Bill knew he needed to share his story with others, so during chemotherapy treatments, he picked up his laptop and began writing, grasping the opportunity to urge fellow patients to advocate for themselves, as he learned to do. Now at 63 years old and after 2 years in remission, Bill chooses to live in the moment and spends each day doing what he wants to do. In this episode of Cancer Horizons, Bill talks with us about his cancer journey and the writing of his book.
It was really Mayo's idea. I was up in Mayo in September of 2020 and woke up from surgery to remove a really painful tumor in below my right hip. And I had an emotional breakdown when I was waking up from the surgery in the recovery room. And they called in the pastor and we talked through a lot of things, including the reasons why I should continue to fight the battle. Because when I woke up from the surgery, Ashley, I decided that I wasn't going to fight anymore because I knew what was coming. And I've been through it so many times that I was thinking about throwing in the towel. And so we worked through all the reasons why I should continue to fight, you know, family, friends, work to make God proud. And at the end of that conversation, the pastor told me that I should turn my pain into purpose and write a book to help others. So that's what we've done. It's not my book, it's our book. My wife and a couple of my kids wrote a chapter, but also the editor and the publisher have been a big part of this book as well.
Yes. And how does it feel being followed by so many?
Yeah, it's interesting because I never wanted to be defined as the cancer guy, right? And so largely I'd kept my cancer a secret until the book came out. And now that the book is out, it's challenging at times because it's hard to talk about. You know, sometimes it can be triggering to talk about it, but mostly what I find it is it's rewarding and the impact that it's having on other cancer patients. So I would say that it's a responsibility. You know, that the book has come out, I'm easily accessible. So I hear from a lot of cancer patients and families that have picked up the book. And those stories are very encouraging to me to continue to do what I'm doing, which is to try to get this book into the hands of as many cancer patients and their families as I can, particularly early in the diagnosis, so that it can make a difference in their journey. In other words, this is the book that I wish somebody else had written for me, because there really wasn't that how-to guide out there, like what to expect when you're expecting, but for cancer out there. So we all look for purpose in our life, and this has become my purpose.
Kind of shifting gears a little bit, a key theme in your book was being your own advocate, right? Mm-hmm. So what are some ways that readers can start advocating for themselves and continue throughout the journey?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, I made that mistake with thyroid cancer, you know, when I was 42 years old and I didn't own my journey. I let the doctors tell me, you know, what to do. And that decision still may cost me my life. And so, The first thing is that you have to create the mindset that this is me. It's my job and the key part is the job part, to get better and to own the journey. That it's a little bit counterintuitive to a lot of people that you own your own journey, not the healthcare team. But the healthcare team appreciates a patient that owns their own journey. And here's some of the things that owning your journey means you have to do. You've got to do your research on where to go. You have to get a second opinion. Have to get a second opinion. You have to take good notes when you go to the appointments. You have to be prepared for those appointments. You have to build a relationship with your care team or care teams, not just related to the cancer, but related to everything, because everything could be related to the cancer. You just don't know it. So whatever is going on, you have to communicate with them. You need to be appreciative of your care team. You need to thank them for the work that they're doing. You need to research the drugs that you're taking. You need to research the side effects of the drugs that you're taking. You need to get your own mental and emotional support. I do that through groups on Facebook, which is super helpful. But professional help, like therapists, things like that, is also a great way to own your journey. And so I remind myself every day, because I wake up every day and have to take a pill that for my missing thyroid. And so every day I'm reminded of my cancer. And every day when I take that pill, I remind myself, okay, own it. And I really have been lucky to get to know a lot of people through the book that are owning their journey. And that also inspires me. And that also gives me hope, seeing them, going through the journey.
And so you emphasize in this book, right, that cancer is physically, mentally, and emotionally draining. So having a buddy system and having support from friends and family is really important. So what are some ways that loved ones can offer support, but also not be too overbearing or overwhelming?
Yeah, great question. I mean, I've dealt with this so often. I'm fortunate that my buddy has been my wife. And so she's been there, with me every step of the way. But what I have to remember with her as my buddy is that she's helping me through the process, but she also needs to get her own support. And she also has to have her own life and her own group of friends and get professional help if needed, because it's really hard to be the buddy of a cancer patient, right? And so she's not my therapist. She's not meant to be my sounding board. She's my buddy, and she needs to build her own life outside. So I would make sure, the readers understand that, yeah, you do need the buddies need to have another life in addition to being a buddy. But some of the things that the buddies can do, be there, so and I'm going to broaden the buddy to not just that person that's going with you to chemotherapy or to your appointments, but broaden it to the friend group that surrounds you during cancers. A lot of your readers and listeners will know is that a lot of people kind of disappear from your life when you're diagnosed with cancer. They just poof away, and it's a common refrain, and it's really frustrating. And I'm not mad at them. I mean, obviously you get sad when people disappear from your life, but I couch that under they just don't know what to do, don't know how to handle it, so they just poof away. And this is like 100% of cancer patients have this happen. But what you can do for a cancer patient is just be there for them. And that could be as simple as a text. It could be as simple as a phone call. I have this one friend who would fly in just to sit with me on the patio because I couldn't be inside with people, and just to see how I was doing. And I remember one time he calls me on a Thursday and says, "Hey, do you have time for lunch on Saturday?" And I'm like, "Sure." He says, "Yeah, I'm going to be in town, and maybe we could have some lunch." And I'm like, "Great." And he was in town, but he was staying at a hotel, and he flew into town to be able to have lunch with me on Saturday, which was really sweet. So just being there is number one. Being encouraging is number two. I would say giving them advice on the things to watch on Netflix, books or magazines is super helpful. I think talking to them about not cancer stuff. My friends like to dial in with me on sports, and my son and I like to talk about cars. So as a cancer patient, we don't really always want to be talking about the cancer. So talking about other things is a great idea. the food thing, controversial. I don't want people to bring over food because my tastes change going through all that treatment, and what used to taste good might not. But the best advice is, call them up or text them and say, what would you like? And go pick it up for them, whether it's at the favorite restaurant or at the grocery store or whatever, so that they have what they want versus what you make, because I might not like your casserole. And so that's pretty good. But I think the biggest lesson that I've learned that has really changed my life, going through this journey, is when they tell me they love me. And I tell them I love them back. And it's, I kind of fought that for a long time, but I was it wasn't this last lymphoma wasn't a slam dunk, right? That I was going to get through it. And it kind of changed my perspective on that. So that group of friends that still surrounds me, we tell each other we love each other, and it's honestly, it's kind of magic.
What are some of the essential takeaways overall from this entire book that you wish you could share with people now?
Number one, it's advocate for yourself, which is own your journey. If that's all you get out of the book, home run. Part of that means the next piece, as we said earlier, is get the second opinion. Also is understand that the physical part can be tough, and is, in many cases for me, it continues to be a challenge. But is that you need to remember that the emotional and mental aspect is can be as hard or harder than the physical part. So you have to recognize that, and you have to get some outside support, because it's a big burden, trying to keep others around you a positive, and keep them up to date. And so get that help for you. Make sure that they have their own help, like my wife and kids. They all had outside support. They needed it. And also give yourself grace if you have a bad day, or if you're not positive. I mean, nobody, you don't want to be have toxic positivity, right? And while I am generally positive, give yourself grace if you're not, or if you have a bad day, or you have a bad week, or a bad month, or a bad year. It's okay. Give yourself grace. It's a tough battle. I
For
think
sure.
too. Yeah, I think too is that, try to surround yourself with it's probably going to be a smaller group, but people that really care and love you. And we talked about it earlier, but spend your time very differently. And also, for sure, stay away from sick people and try to avoid getting sick. I mean, going through the cancer journey for me in particular, with blood cancer of the immune system, still to this day, a cold or the flu becomes way, way more important than that. And I do think that some people, when they're finished treatment, may not appreciate, the risk of those other issues. So work with the medical care team and have them test your immune system to see how it is. And I do that every 3 months. I'm testing my immune system to see if it's coming back, and that's super important.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cancer Horizons podcast or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cancer Horizons podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. Find us on Facebook at Cure Today, Twitter at Cure_Today, and Instagram at Cure Today.